Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
What's up, everybody? The Specialists are back, and we are recapping episode number 8 of The Amazing Race 36. And I got to be honest, I don't know if I'm going to be recapping episode Amazing Race 37. I don't know, man. I sit here and I watch that, and it reminds me of all the frustrations I've had with The Amazing Race in the past. I feel like The Amazing Race can be such a fun show, but it is a show that also has some of the stupidest rules in reality television. It really does. I mean, hire people who can follow other cars. Hire a private investigator to be the driver of the car. Like, my God, I don't understand. I don't understand why they were punished because the guy went the wrong way. And maybe this has happened before. Maybe I should know better. But to me, as somebody who picks up here and there, I just did not like this. And it has nothing really to do with Angie and Danny going home. It's more of just like, to me, this is an outdated, stupid rule. And maybe, McKenna, you can enlighten me on why I'm incorrect.
No, I think it was dumb because if, you know, the crew goes a certain way and they're like really off track, then they should, you know, maybe have a little bit of a penalty or whatever, but then like, okay, we have another crew on standby for you, mm-hmm. or something to that effect, where it's like, okay, if the crew is now lost, like Angie and Danny shouldn't be punished if the crew is lost. But I also think they should have had bigger cars to fit the crew like they usually have.
Yeah.
It shouldn't just be two-seater cars.
This felt like a really, yeah, like, so here's Lil Z-A-A-R. Did the crew not have a GPS so they can go to the correct location faster? Like, they knew where they were going.
Yeah.
And I think that's what aggravated me the most is, like, Danny and Angie got there with the way they went. Mm-hmm. It's not like they went the wrong way and the crew went the right way.
Right.
They went the right way and the crew did not follow them. This is not a rule that should be in this game. The crew should not be people who can impact it. And I understand the whole argument is, well, you can't lose your crew. Well, if I'm a crew member and I think so-and-so is more entertaining, I'm just going to drive the wrong way so that the show is better moving forward. Obviously, Angie and Danny aren't who they wanted to lose, but if that's not the easiest thing to rig in the world as a crew member, I don't know what is.
Yeah.
I mean, I could literally say, wow, McKenna's on this season. I like McKenna. I'm going to go and I'm going to be in a different person's crew and I'm going to drive the wrong way and they're just going to be punished for it. That is bullshit.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I hate when it's like things that are not their own doing gets them out of the game. Like, well, I guess technically they lost their crew, but they shouldn't have had like a crew to lose in the first place. Like, did they have to have Jeeps that are two-seaters? Mm-hmm. Like, they couldn't have had four-seater Jeeps and starting with the cover on so the cameras and the audio didn't get wet. Like, there are ways around what just happened and they chose to not do it.
Exactly. 100%. And they couldn't have been too worried about things getting wet because they left them in open-top Jeeps while it was downpouring.
And all of their maps got destroyed.
Everything. And like that stuff, whatever, that's fine. I don't really care about that. But that is going to be, that's the controversial topic right now is how do we feel about the fact that this was the crew? And I think because it's Danny and Angie, there's going to be a stronger outcry over it because they were the underdogs and they were running well. And I got to be honest with you, Danny and Angie still had plenty of time to make up in the crab game or whatever the hell they were making, whatever they were building, the fish trap game detour. They had plenty of time there. They got there before Juan and Shane. Juan and Shane were just better at their portion of the detour that they did, and they got through. So Danny and Angie did not specifically go home because of this, but mm-hmm. they lost so much time because of this. And what I want answers to are, why were they punished over this? Like Lil Z again says, the crew lost them. And so I follow James Wallington. And Sarah, he had retweeted Sarah from Nerdtainment. He said, we need some clarification on what happened with the lost crew. Was that an illegal turn they couldn't take? Did they not see Danny and Angie? Did the crew not know the final location? Why did it take the crew so long to get to the task? And that is what the problem is here. That is total BS. Like, why was the crew not better situated and better prepared for if something like this happens? Also, there were two cars involved, right? Like there were more people at least involved. They had a camera in the car. They know Danny and Angie aren't cheating because there's a camera in the car. So why is it not just, okay, another crew has to pick them up? I think about this as like, if you're watching some like 70s crime movie, they're following the bad guy in one car and they switch to the next car and they switch to the next car. If they only had one car, well, that's your problem. You deserve to lose the bad guy then. That's not the bad guy's fault. The bad guy did their job still. They just kept doing what they were doing. Danny and Angie did what they were supposed to do and they were punished for it. And that is what aggravates me about The Amazing Race and why I don't watch every season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we haven't had anything like this in a while. Like, I can't remember really a time where production screwed over a team like this, basically. So the fact of like, it's a thing in the Amazing Race, you can't lose your crew. I get it when you're like at a roadblock and you're running or whatever, because you need to keep the crew because that's your camera. Because we also saw when they arrived at the detour, they were like, hey, we lost our crew, but it showed the car footage because they didn't have their camera operator.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And they're like, yeah, we know. Okay, if you know we lost our crew, are you going to do something about it? No, you have to wait.
And that's what
they find you again.
That's what was dumb too, is like they had to sit there. There were plenty of other crew members from the Amazing Race at that location knowing that the other people were lost. So why is that on Angie and Danny to now wait for those people to navigate the streets of Barbados? And I would like to know how long that took them. Because if they know, have a different camera person pick them up. I see, and this is, Will and I talk about this a lot with Deal or No Deal Island. We ultimately don't care what they're competing for. We just care that they're competing. And Deal or No Deal Island is putting too much focus on, oh, well, the final case is going to be worth this amount. We don't care as an audience. We're not winning that money. We just want to watch the players play. And right. So when I watched this last night, or I really watched it this morning, let's be real. I watched it an hour ago. That's why I'm still so hot about it. But when I watched this morning, I care about Angie and Danny. I care about Rodney and Keisha. I care about Yvonne and Melissa. I care about Ricky and Cesar. And I care about Juan and Shane. Those are the 10 people that I care about. Wait, did I miss a group? I did miss
you
a group.
You did, Amber and Vinny.
I like Amber and Vinny. I don't know if I care about Amber and Vinny, but I like them. No, but I do. I care about these six teams of two. There are 12 people that I give a shit about on this show. I don't care what the crew is doing. I do not have any desire to watch them, to hear about them, to know the goings-ons behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. I don't care. That is how reality TV should be. I don't care. Like, look, if Russell Hance played Survivor Samoa and he found an idol and the camera people were too stupid to be standing there while he found it and they didn't know he had it, that's their problem. I don't care. And we had Davey Rickenbacker the other day tweet out that one of the scenes of him finding his immunity idol or whatever he found, that actually was reshot because they didn't catch it the first time. But
well, also, like, again, it's coming from Richard Hatch, so you don't exactly know what's true or not, but his shark bite scene was like, or shark catch and everything was reshot, and it bit him on the second time because they missed him grabbing the shark out of the rock the first time. And it's like, great, now he gets bit by a shark the second time,
which is more badass and better TV. But look, either way, all of those things happening, we're not hearing about that from the production. When you have to explain production's error, and when you have to explain this to us as to, oh, well, Danny and Angie, they lost their crew. The crew are not characters. They're not racers. They do not exist as far as I am concerned as a viewer. Mm-hmm. This is a horrible, horrible rule for The Amazing Race. It shouldn't be there. It's honestly very lazy. And as I've said, it's very easy to rig. I don't care what anybody tells me. Your crew should not be able to impact whether or not you win or lose The Amazing Race. Danny and Angie still had plenty of time to make it up. Rant is about to be over, but this was weak. Very, very weak.
I mean, one last point. Lil's in the comments again. Why did they only have a walkie-talkie and not like a phone where they could comment and like live talk to each other? A walkie-talkie, you get out of range and then all of a sudden you're screwed.
I totally know. It's so frustrating. So all right, let's jump over into some other fun stuff. And let's talk about, what do you want to talk about?
The roadblock was first, so who wants to get into the swing of things? The title. So it's basically Extreme Street Pickleball.
I liked it. I liked it. This is one I actually would have really wanted to participate in. Like really, really, really would have wanted to participate in. I love ping pong. I'm very good at ping pong. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy ping pong. And I feel like this would have been a fun game, especially since they were playing very easy against them. Right. I feel like as somebody who actually does have like some paddle game skills, this would have been so much fun to play them in, because I would have been able to just like actually have a good time while they have to take it easy on me and I can like mock these professionals. I'm gonna kick the shit out of
them. You've been like Leticia being like all, ooh, this is fun. I'm having a great time here. And Rod's just like, play the game.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Who would you have wanted to do this?
So I would have had to like, I guess, look at my surroundings, but for my first thought was Who Wants to Get Into the Swing of Things makes me think dancing. And I'm like, no, I should not do that. If I'm with my fiance who like did ballet and like danced and knows how to do like that kind of stuff, but she's not the sportiest gal. So then it would have been better for me to do it, but I wouldn't be heartbroken to not do this one.
Yeah, I think that this would have been fun. I also think that there is like a lot of discussion regarding, how sporty are you? Are you athletic? Are you good at these types of games? All that. You could see that as long as I'm pretty sure that it was once you hit it over two or three times, they were going to hit it into the ground or hit it out on purpose almost every time. I think there was like a limit to how hard the other people could play. I mean, you still had to have some sort of hand-eye coordination where you could actually make contact with the ball.
And there were definitely in the right direction.
Yeah. And there were, and you had to hit it right and the right distance and you couldn't hit it out and all that. But there were teams that were definitely better than others at this, but I'm still not sitting there going, oh my God, what an advantage, you know, anybody really had in this one. I don't know. Like I would have definitely wanted to do this if I was running it with like my wife, but if I was running this with my friends, any of us could have done this. It does not.
Yeah. Matter. Yeah. I think, yeah, you know, even my fiance still could have done it. She's played tennis before. Like, as long as it's not throwing the ball, then she's good. But yeah, I thought it was a fun roadblock to have because also it's like, you know, you see certain people kind of wing through it once they get the hang of it. But then Leticia was still sitting there for a while trying to like kind of get her bearings on how to hit the ball. And I feel like she wasn't understanding how to hold the paddle and things like that. So it is something where you can get tripped up with, but also, you know, learn it and get the hang of things.
Yeah. And you're not playing against them to 11 points, which I thought was very important too. You just had to get 11 points because we have seen challenges in the past where you have to get a certain amount of points before the other person gets a certain amount of points. Had they done that where it was, you had to beat them to 11 or you had to beat them to 7 or something, I think this would have taken forever because that is something where you can just mess up on your own because there was regular human error involved in this. Even if the other person plays terribly on purpose, they could still beat you every time just because you can't hit it in the square. So just needing to get 11 points, I thought was pretty huge.
Yeah. And it, unlike like the horse bolo one where it's like you had a certain amount of like shots to take, this was super simple where it's just like 11 points. You got it. And you can be there for an hour and get 11 points or you can be there for 11 minutes.
And this will bring us the smiles here, Lil. Angie was having so much fun with this too. Danny, loved Danny hyping her up. Yes, we got our positive moments from Danny and Angie here too, which was really great to just like see them.
She's
still
a tennis instructor.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh, Angie's doing a roadblock. Angie can do this. Like they're going to be great and set for the final.
Mm-hmm.
And all so well positioned with
this. I know they really were really well positioned with this. It's a bummer. If you're watching, we're 15 minutes in. Like this video, subscribe to the channel. Make sure you're doing all that fun stuff. I have to keep doing the reminder. That's what everybody tells me to do. So here we are. yeah, the roadblock was fun. I feel like this would have been a fun little game. I also thought with the extreme rain they were having, this was probably more of a pain in the ass than they anticipated. So that was nice. They then have to go to Rihanna. Go ahead.
It seemed to have cleared up as soon as like Ricky and Cesar kind of got to the roadblock.
Yeah, it seemed like a morning storm for sure. Then they go to Rihanna's house.
Yeah.
And we have a great line of Angie saying, who's Rihanna? And Danny saying she's one of the best pop stars, whatever. And then she says, name a song and he can't do it. Umbrella, bro. It is downpouring. What are we doing?
Umbrella, Disturbia. Like
it's raining. Umbrella is the song that people play when it rains. That is like, if you open an umbrella when it's raining, the first thing that should go through your head is you can stand under my umbrella. Like that is what should be in your brain. I could not believe he couldn't think of umbrella in rain.
No. Yeah, I don't know, but it was fun getting to go to a new location. Like, they've never been to Barbados before. We also did not have a Spanish speaking country, so it was interesting to see Ricky and Cesar kind of, even though they came in first, but they were still struggling the most this leg. So maybe with the finale, they might struggle a little bit more. I don't know. Like, some other team could sneak out a win here. Mm-hmm. But we are starting to see cracks, but the cracks are coming so close to the end.
Yeah, they are. They really, really are coming so close to the end. So yeah, I'm not, I think Juan and Shane are the only ones who can beat them, to be totally honest. Mm-hmm. I think they're the only ones who can beat them. Juan and Shane, they made such a great decision at the detour, because at Rihanna's house, nothing happened. So then they went to the detour. Yeah. Juan and Shane made such a great decision at the detour. They were in last place getting there. They saw that everybody else had already been working on the other part of the challenge. So they said, you know what? The fish trap might be the easier thing to do. It might be the smarter thing to do, but we're not going to do it. We are going to go and we are going to do the physical task. And they mm-hmm. did the physical task, and it was such a good decision by them to do the physical task. Good on them. They end up getting out of there before everybody but Ricky and Cesar because they do this physical task. Yeah. I don't know if another team would have been able to do this. They wouldn't have been able to do this as quick as the two of them did, but they saw an opportunity. They capitalized on it. And that's where I think making that type of quick decision in a moment mm-hmm. and executing it is what could help them beat Ricky and Cesar in a final leg.
Yeah, I agree. I initially thought, you know, do seaweed clearing myself, but then when I saw how like spread apart where you had to get the seaweed from this specific spot, it wasn't like the coffee beans where you could just like go real close to, you know, where you needed to be, I was like, no, I'm making a crab pot.
Yeah.
And I like putting things together. I like, you know, that kind of stuff. So it would be fun, except for the blood.
I was going to say, that was also really tedious. Like, it was bloody and it was tedious. And I feel like the doing the physical one was very straightforward. You didn't have to worry about missing things. There weren't a lot of pieces. But this one was tedious. Having to make, like, the little cone part of it and put that in and having to make sure every little pole was there. I feel like it was probably the right move for most of these teams. But I would have wanted to do the other seaweed thing, because the other mm-hmm. seaweed thing, they have to remember too, like, there's a beach down here in Florida that gets it really bad at certain times of the year. And you would have been able to fill up that bucket in 5 seconds. The thing you have to remember with this isn't randomly placed seaweed.
Oh no, it's definitely, you know,
like, and I'm not saying to you, I'm saying to the audience. Yeah. What you have to remember is you are getting, there is the proper amount of seaweed there for multiple teams to fill their buckets, if not all of the teams to fill their buckets. And it's going to be in heaps. That is not going to be like, oh, I have to walk around the beach trying to rake stuff up. It's all in one area. Yes, it's far away from the bucket, but I do think that that would add to me saying, you know what, let's just do this. It's straightforward. Rake it up, pick it up, throw it in the wheelbarrow, run it down. It's probably going to be 3 trips. Can you do those 3 trips in 15 minutes? Which I think would be faster than building the cage for sure.
Oh yeah, I believe that is too. But it, depending on who, you know, who you're partnered with, like Danny and Angie, their fastest thing is building the crab pot. But maybe Amber and Vinny might be able to do it in 4 trips, mm-hmm. where they seem like they're decently athletic, but maybe not as like, they're not as like muscly as Juan and Shane. So they would maybe take a few more trips, but still could be faster. But again, they're nurses. So like nimble hands and all that.
Now nimble bloodied hands, you know, not even good. So what did you think about how everybody else performed in this one?
I'm not shocked about Rod and Letitia missing the 4 posts. Mm-hmm. Because of the whole directions episode, how they just like were missing certain key things. And I was hoping that the cone being on the wrong side for Ricky and Cesar would add a little bit more drama to the team, but it kind of didn't. He just brushed it off and been like, this is why I asked, you know, these questions.
Yeah, it really was kind of like a nothing burger. They were so far ahead, it didn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that is a mistake they made, and we see Juan and Shane making a good move. So that's, again, what I'm saying. You get into those mistakes where you're a little bit closer to these people, that might make a difference. I mean, I will say that was a tough leg, though, from start to finish, with having to drive through a Caribbean island streets mm-hmm. in that type of downpour. That's not easy to do. And they're all soaking wet right from the start. So that was a tough leg from the start. So I'm surprised that more teams didn't make bigger mistakes. But mm-hmm. I think there were definitely some blemishes for Ricky and Cesar that potentially could bite them before this is all said and done.
Yeah, I was hoping, you know, that Angie and Danny could pull through with the navigation, but the fact that they weren't showing the two at the beach together, like doing a wide shot of both Rod and Leticia and Angie and Danny, I was like, this means more than just suspense. And then they got trapped in the mud. I was like, maybe, but they were probably still at the beach when, you know, they got trapped in the mud. They just cut it differently.
Yeah, I don't think this was close at all.
Yeah.
I don't think it was close at all. I think that Rod and Leticia got through that way before Angie and Danny, because Angie and Danny went on their own journey around the island of Barbados and it still wasn't close.
Yeah.
So I don't think that this was close at all. Well, Angie and Danny are out now. So who are you rooting for?
I guess. So I feel like Yvonne and Melissa are not going to squeak this out, because we would have heard from more of them, I feel, throughout the season. I'm rooting for Juan and Shane to usurp Ricky and Cesar, because I just, they've been winning the whole time and I don't want them to win the final. I think it would be more fun if they didn't win the final. So I think Juan and Shane can pull out the win, hopefully.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of at the point where Juan and Shane wouldn't bother me to win, but I think I'm almost at the point where if Ricky and Cesar are just going to dominate, let them dominate and win. Like, rather than dominate and fall just short and it be like, oh, that's kind of a bummer. Like, they're not my favorite team, but if they're going to win this many legs anyway, I almost feel like it is the most satisfying conclusion for them to win. I root for an underdog as much as the next person.
Yeah.
But there's nobody here who truly feels like an underdog. Like, Juan and Shane aren't underdogs. Rod and Leticia aren't underdogs. Yvonne and Melissa, maybe, but I know them so little, I don't really care. And then Amber and Vinny, they just fight so much that it's hard for me to get on board with, I want them to win. So at this point, Ricky and Cesar might actually be the most satisfying end to this game.
The one thing that they said that throughout this episode that got me thinking is, would they be this good if they were doing everything at the same time as other teams? And I don't think yes is the answer, because they are like capitalizing on not being around teams, lengthening the gap between, you know, meeting up with teams, leaving places before teams get there, and like really stretching out that like winning place time gap into longer and longer stretches. And I think if they all left at the same time, do we see them leave and finish in first place? I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. I don't know what the answer to that is, but that is a fair point. And I mean, like, when it comes to Ricky and Cesar, what would it take, do you think, for them to blow this? Like, what is it going to take for them to not pull this out?
I think it has to be something that Cesar missed, that he like the fish trap where Cesar was like, yeah, you can go on that side, and it was the other side. Like, I think it's something where like Ricky trusts Cesar and then it's wrong and it blows up.
I feel
like they're also starting to have issues with driving. Ricky's like, what do we do? What do we do? And Cesar's like, stop. And Ricky's like, I can't. And it's just wasted time, blah, blah, blah. And I think they're bickering more driving as well.
I also think, though, that right now, this might be the worst group of drivers I've ever seen. So that could be helping for sure.
Yeah. Juan and Shane came in second place this leg, and I feel like they are decent-ish at navigation. I feel like we haven't seen them blow up at all. They've just had some troubles, but like not anything like crazy.
I do think the thing that is really working in favor of Juan and Shane is that there is no real love there. Like they're mm-hmm. just a couple bros running the race. I think that's really helping them right now. There's no familial connection. There's no, mm-hmm. are we going to get married? Are we going to have kids? Any, they're just running the race. And so when they get pissed off at each other, it, you know, it's easy for them to just be like, all right, like who cares? Like we'll figure it out. Like it's not that big of a deal. Like, especially if, when you think about like what their backgrounds are, they've had to deal with people they don't like their entire lives. They've had to be in stressful situations. They've had to handle that. And so I feel like with Juan and Shane, they're cruising and they're not going to have those emotional outbursts that you're going to get from the other teams that could ultimately cost them.
Which Amber and Vinny came in third this leg, and I was surprised that they shot up that much. And I think it's really because of Angie and Danny not being able to go into the detour. Mm-hmm. And because I don't know if they were arrived at the same time or whatnot, but Amber and Vinny like rip open the clue next. For the detour and then start going.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
I don't know.
Go ahead.
There was no real question. It was just like they're bickering, you know, they have that familial connection. Yes. And I don't think they're making it that much further. And I'm surprised that they got third this leg.
Yeah. I think what's crazy with Amber and Vinny is, they're the most explosive of the two teams, but they're the kind of explosive in the way that I hate. Like, I would not be able to run a race with Amber and Vinny. I don't think I'd be able to play a sport with Amber and Vinny. I don't think I'd be able to play a board game with Amber and Vinny. They're so passive aggressive.
Yeah. It
drives me insane. I come from the type of family where if you get pissed off, you just say, hey, F you, leave me alone. And then 20 minutes later, you're fine because you just said, F you, leave me alone. Mm-hmm. They're the kinds of people who are like, we're going to let this stew and we're going to pretend everything's chill. And yeah, Amber's going to be yelling at Vinny about stuff. And Vinny's going to be like, it's okay. You're hurting us right now. It's going to be so calm and acting like it's mellow. And then in like 10 years, it's going to be, oh, by the way, here's every single thing I hate about you. And I feel like it's coming out on the race. No, but I know that's like a harsh statement, but I feel like on the race, that's what's coming out.
Yeah.
It's like, everything is we're going to hold it in. And then we explode every time rather than just like getting on each other in a real way that seems like useful. You know, Amber is very aggressive with Vinny and then Vinny tries to be so mellow, but he's not being as understanding as his tone suggests. So it just leads to, I don't know, like whatever. I don't know. It's just, it's very hard for me to watch. It's like the type of arguing and stuff that I don't enjoy. And I just feel like right now, I don't know how they can't win. They could finish third. We've seen teams like them finish third, you know, but I don't think they can win by any means.
Yovana Melissa came in fourth this leg, not last and not even second to last. And they were right on the money with Amber and Vinny. They pulled in at the same time. And I don't think they're squeaking out the win, but could they squeak out a final three? I don't know. They were almost third here.
No, they're not doing it. I know you have your hope up. I know your hopes are so high. I don't see it.
I don't either, but I just, anyone who is like purpled, essentially, I'm just like, I'm rooting for them because like fourth, for no reason.
They're going to get fourth or fifth. That's where they're going to land. I mean, now obviously they're in top five. So like, oh, well there, but I feel like, one of the next two episodes, they will not be in the finale. I would be floored if they were.
Wait, so how did
that line up? So then is the finale the same night as the Survivor finale? It can't be. Are there three episodes left?
I don't think so.
So you're going to go from five. There's five this week on May 8th. Then there's four on May 15th. Then there's three teams. When do they run the finale?
Race finale.
I know that wasn't where our conversation started, but
March, the season premiered, conclude on May 15th.
So how are they eliminating? There's only going to be three teams racing to the finish line, right?
Maybe there's a pit stop in the middle of something.
Oh, it says legs 10 and 11 aired back to back. So somebody will lose. Okay, so I won't be here May 15th. So you're going to be doing the finale recap with Celestina probably, which I'm not all that upset about, to be honest. I'll throw a little Patreon coverage or something out there.
You can do the root info of your thoughts on the season this time.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Anyway. Okay.
And then Rod and Leticia are last.
Rod and Leticia are last, but I'm not worried about Rod and Leticia. I think Rod and Leticia, I feel like they're going to get through. I feel like either Amber and Vinny or Yvonne and Melissa will make more mistakes than them. And I feel like Rod and Leticia just have more upside than those teams. Yeah. They finished last this time. I feel like this was a leg not designed for them and they still got through. So I feel like Rod and Leticia will beat at least one of those two teams. Maybe Rod and Leticia get fourth place, but I think they beat at least one of those two teams and get through next week.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're either third or fourth. I think if Amber and Vinny go, that they're locked in third. But if Yvonne and Melissa go, Amber and Vinny might be able to secure that third spot, depending on how each team runs the race.
Yeah, I could see that. I think Amber and Vinny, Rod and Leticia will be battling, but Juan and Shane and Ricky and Cesar, in my opinion, are in the final three.
Correct.
They're going to be.
Yeah. I don't see how they aren't.
Yeah. I think that's going to happen. So, anything else about this you want to cover?
Ricky and Cesar got $7,500 each.
That's again what I was talking about. Deal or no deal. Don't care. Matters not to me.
Other than that, yeah, I thought this was, it was a hard episode of the race to watch for sure. Especially when I liked a lot of the individual components. Like I liked the roadblock. I liked the detour. I liked how they were even maneuvering around Barbados, that it was a new area that they went to. But the whole production thing just really dropped it.
Yeah, it's definitely a no-go. It's definitely something that's what people are going to talk about. That's not what The Amazing Race wants. That's not what CBS and production want. They don't want this to be the conversation coming out of this. And it is. And it is. All right. Well, anyway, that's going to do it for this episode then. Thank you all so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. Like the video, subscribe to the channel. McKenna and Celestina will be back on Saturday. Don't know what you're covering. Do you know?
Nope.
We'll find out. We'll find out on Saturday.
We'll find out Saturday.
And then we'll be back next Wednesday or next Thursday again with another recap of The Amazing Race. Hope you're enjoying this. For more Survivor coverage, Blake and I will be going live in about 20 minutes at noon Eastern here on May 2nd. We're going to be digging deeper into this episode, and we're going to be talking about people playing with other people they hate, which is going to be really fun to discuss. So hope you're enjoying all the content here. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.